say at this point, I mentioned over the last couple of weeks Margaret Tomlinson's funeral on Wednesday at 12 noon. Sadly, that will just be for those who've been invited by her family, even though we can accommodate a few more here. As you can imagine, Margaret's friendships have reached far and wide, and so her family have invited a number of people, and that fills the capacity that we have here. But it will be live streamed, so if you want to watch it via our YouTube channel at the time or afterwards, it will be available on Wednesday. And then also just a thank you in regard to the food bank. Many people have been very generous with cash donations during the lockdown over the last 15 months. Thank you very much for that. But should you wish to go, when you go to Sainsbury's and you get buy one, get one free and all that sort of thing, do they do that anymore? Anyway, if you get extra, you're very welcome to leave them in the box that we've reinstated here in church, and we'll make sure that those products make their way to the food bank at St Richard's. So thank you.
God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to be our advocate in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. Let us confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace with all. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbour, in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen.
Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in life eternal, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. Lord God, Heavenly King, Almighty God and Father, we worship you, we give you thanks, we praise you for your glory. Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, Lord God, Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world, have mercy on us. You are seated at the right hand of the Father, receive our prayer. For you alone are the Holy One, you alone are the Lord, you alone are the Most High, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in the glory of God the Father. Amen. Let us pray. O God, the protector of all who trust in you, without whom nothing is strong, nothing is holy, increase and multiply upon us your mercy, that with you as our ruler and guide we may so pass through things temporal that we lose not our hold on things eternal. Grant this, Heavenly Father, for our Lord Jesus Christ's sake, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen.
You excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in utmost eagerness, and in our love for you. So we want you to excel also in this generous undertaking. I do not say this as a command, but I am testing the genuineness of your love against the earnestness of others. For you know the generous act of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that by his poverty you might become rich. And in this matter, I am giving my advice. It is appropriate for you, who began last year not only to do something but even to desire to do something, now finishing doing it, so that your eagerness may be matched by completing it according to your means. For if the eagerness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what one does not have. I do not mean that there should be relief for others and pressure on you, but it is a question of a fair balance between your present abundance and their need, so that their abundance may be for your need, in order there may be a fair balance. As it is written, the one who had much did not have too much, and the one who had little did not have too little. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Hear the Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord.
When Jesus had crossed into the boat to the other side, a crowd gathered around him, and he was by the lake. Then one of the leaders of the synagogue, named Jairus, came, and when he saw him, fell at his feet and begged him repeatedly, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her, so that she may be made well and live." So he went with them, and a large crowd followed and pressed into him. Now there was a woman who had been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years. She had endured much under many physicians and had spent all that she had, and she was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak. For she said, "If I but touch his clothes, I will be made well." Immediately her hemorrhaging stopped, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. Immediately aware that power had gone forth from him, Jesus turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing in on you. How can you say, 'Who touched me?'" He looked all around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what happened to her, came in fear and trembling, fell down before him, and told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." While he was speaking, some people came from the leader's house to say, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" But overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the leader of the synagogue, "Do not fear, only believe." He allowed no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, and the brother of James. When they came to the house of the leader of the synagogue, he saw a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. When he entered, he said to them, "Why do you make a commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. Then he put them all outside and took the child's father and mother and those who were with him and went to where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha, come," which means, "Little girl, get up." And immediately the girl got up and began to walk about. She was 12 years of age. And at this they were overcome with amazement. He strictly ordered them that no one should know this and told them to give her something to eat. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Words of my mouth and the thoughts of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Many of us have had either one or both doses of a vaccine that we hope and pray will lessen the continued impact of COVID-19 on our lives. Those of you who have not soon will. And it's clear that the vaccine has made all the difference. And though the virus will continue to evolve, broadly speaking, the vaccine works. Those who developed, manufactured, delivered, and administered it deserve our thanks. So perhaps it's not surprising that charities like Christian Aid identified this as a moment in which we want to give thanks and donate money to support those less fortunate than ourselves. But if we feel the need to give thanks for the vaccine at the moment, just imagine the response of the poor woman described in our gospel this morning, who has endured much under many physicians. Just imagine her desire and need to give thanks for the miracle she received from Jesus, just by touching his cloak. Then there's Jairus' daughter, who is at the point of death. He pleads with Jesus to come, and though he arrives too late, to everyone's amazement, she got up. What would Jairus have wanted to do in response to Jesus giving him his daughter back? Surely from that moment on, he would have been forever thankful and spent his life telling others of the miracle that happened that day. But Jesus says, "Tell no one." And he does so because he knew that his teaching could so easily be distorted by these acts of love. For faith in him is, of course, more than miracles. It was and is about transformation of life, a way of living and loving that changes everything. And so if people were and are to have an enduring relationship with him, then it must be built on that sometimes wobbly foundation we call faith. A faith that doesn't demand miracles, proof, and certainty, yet something paradoxically we know to be true. And it is by faith that we believe the Jesus who walked amongst his followers, who healed the sick and raised the dead, is at work amongst us, and even present with us now. Indeed, each of our lives and our presence here this morning is a testament to this faith. And if I think of my own story, I am deeply thankful for how faith has enriched my life beyond measure, and that despite my many failures and wrong turns, God's grace overcomes them all. I give thanks daily that Jesus has been and continues to be alive and with me. And that presence of Jesus in my life has been revealed in part at least through the life of the church,
A church which, for all its flaws, continues to be a means of grace, where Jesus is known. And here I want to turn to St. Paul, writing to those Christians in Corinth. In this eighth chapter, underpinning all that he writes, is his understanding that the church was a community in and through which Jesus is known. Paul had, of course, been once amongst them. He planted the mustard seed of the church there, and it grew. We don't know how long he was there, but one day he left to continue his work of sowing that mustard seed elsewhere. And so some time on, he writes to them asking for help for the church in Jerusalem to test, he writes, the genuineness of their love. That genuineness would be expressed, thought Paul, in their thanksgiving for the new life they knew in and through Jesus at work amongst them, and how from that thanksgiving flows generosity to help the church elsewhere, to look beyond their own need to the need of others. And though the word is never mentioned, he is, of course, talking about money. Not quite as we understand currency, but you get the idea. It's the unnamed backdrop to the reading as he tries to prize open their wallets by reminding them that Christ, though he was rich, yet for our sakes became poor, so that by his poverty you might become rich. He is challenging them to see how deep the roots of their faith in Jesus go, testing the genuineness of their love, their thanksgiving for the life of faith with Jesus at the centre. And that takes us back to my beginning and that sense of deep thanksgiving we feel when something directly impacts our life like a vaccine. We need to say thank you. But then what? And that is Paul's challenge to us. Is thanksgiving something for special moments, or is it part of our daily life? The Christian Church has over the generations taught us that thanksgiving is a way of living, part of our discipleship. And so it's no surprise that it's part of our liturgy, our service too. The word thanks or thanksgiving, you may not have even noticed it, occurs several times in this Eucharist, a word which at itself means thanksgiving. So it is right, as we have so often said, right to give thanks and praise. It is right to give thanks in small ways when we say or write a note or send a text to say thank you. It is right to give thanks when we awake to a new day. It is right to give thanks when we consider all that we have and often take for granted. It is right to give thanks for the love we know. It is right to go back to Paul, to consider how generous we are with our money, particularly when we think of how we support the church. It puzzles and saddens me still that though I am deeply thankful for all your support over the years, and though there have been particularly challenges before us recently, we've never in my incumbency managed to pay our parish share in full to the diocese. It puzzles me because as I look round this parish, and though I know there are various demands on us financially at different stages of life, we have so much to be thankful for here. And yet I don't think that thanksgiving is fully recognised in what we give. My hope is still that one day we shall, through our giving, be able to pay for two priests through this share, one for your vicar and one for a priest to serve those communities that could never afford one. For everywhere priests are needed to proclaim, as Paul puts it, the glory of Christ. It was the German mystic Meister Eckhart who hundreds of years ago said, if the only prayer you ever say in your entire life is thank you, it will be enough. So for vaccines, for each other, for this precious life, for the life of the church, but above all to turn to the prayer of general thanksgiving from the Book of Common Prayer. We give thanks for God's immeasurable love in the redemption of the world by our Lord Jesus Christ, for the means of grace, and for the hope of glory. Amen.
Let us declare our faith in God. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty,
maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father, through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate from the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate, he suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and life of the world to come. Amen.
In the power of the Spirit and in union with Christ, let us pray. Please sit. Gracious God, we offer you our prayers, those for the Church and the world and all its people. From our Anglican cycle of prayer, we pray for the Church of Pakistan, for its bishop, clergy and all people. You bring us in your love to worship you here, and we give thanks for the opportunity to be in your presence and serve you. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Strengthen us all in the service of Christ, that we may honour one another and seek the common good. We pray for Nicholas and Paul, our bishops, and all who minister in your church. We hold before you all those who have been ordained over this weekend. For those who will take up new ministry in parishes across our diocese. For all those who will love and work with them. We pray for anyone who has a calling to ministry. For those who are seeking your word, and for those who have responded to your call, follow me. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Creator God, pray for our world, giving thanks for the diversity of the seasons and the beauty of creation, and for all the good gifts that you give us. We give thanks for open places to walk and exercise, for our coastline and power plants. We are mindful of those who aren't as fortunate as us, for those who cannot live in freedom. We pray for anyone who lives in fear or in danger, in the many troubled parts of this world. We pray for peace, for justice, for integrity. We pray that our world leaders and all those who make decisions on our behalf will do so for the benefit of everyone. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord God, as the world is ever changing, you are the constant source of hope and light. As the world looks towards the restrictions caused by the pandemic being lifted, then we pray for a time when we will once again be able to meet properly in worship and to praise you in our music and song. We pray for all those who are separated from loved ones at this time. And we ask that you will bless all our family and friends. Lord, be in all our relationships as a source of love and grace. And we give thanks for all those who you have given to us. Our prayers this week ask for the residents of Kennerley Garth. May your love be shown to all those who live or visit there. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Healing God, we know we are frail and vulnerable and in need of your healing. Pour upon us your spirit of wisdom, of counsel and of healing to us all. Give hope to the despairing. Give comfort to those in pain. Give strength to the weary. And in a moment of silence, we offer ourselves and those names to you, O Lord, of anyone on our hearts and minds at this time. Remembering those in our church family and in long-term care. We entrust all those who have died to your safekeeping. And we hold dear the memory of those whose anniversary of death occurs at this time. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Creator God, you have made us in your image to reflect your goodness. You have called us to use our gifts to build your kingdom. Give us wisdom and help us to use our skills to your glory and for the building up of the people that we serve. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Look upon us in mercy, not in judgment. Draw us from hatred to love, and make the frailty of our praise a dwelling place for your glory. Amen. Amen.
The Lord is here.
His Spirit is
with us. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. You are worthy of our thanks and praise, Lord God of truth, for by the breath of your mouth you have spoken your word, and all things have come into being. You fashioned us in your image and placed us in the garden of your delight. Though we chose the path of rebellion, you would not abandon your own. Again and again you drew us into your covenant of grace. You gave your people the law, and taught us by your prophets to look for your reign of justice, mercy, and peace. As we watch for the signs of your kingdom on earth, we echo the song of the angels in heaven, evermore praising you and saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Lord God, you are the most holy one, enthroned in splendor and light. Yet in the coming of your Son, Jesus Christ, you reveal the power of your love, made perfect in our human weakness. Embracing our humanity, Jesus showed us the way of salvation. Loving us to the end, he gave himself to death for us. Dying for his own, he set us free from the bonds of sin, that we might rise and reign with him in glory. He gave up himself for us all. He took bread and gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Same way, after supper, he took the cup and gave you thanks. He gave it to them, saying, Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. Therefore, we proclaim the death that he suffered on the cross. We celebrate his resurrection, his bursting from the tomb. We rejoice that he reigns at your right hand on high, and we long for his coming in glory. Call the one perfect sacrifice of our redemption. Father, by your Holy Spirit, let these gifts of your creation be to us the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Form us into the likeness of Christ and make us a perfect offering in your sight. With favour on your people, and in your mercy hear the cry of our hearts. Bless the earth, heal the sick, let the oppressed go free, and fill your church with power from on high. Amen. your people from the ends of the earth to feast with Blessed Mary and all your saints at the table in your kingdom, where the new creation is brought to perfection in Jesus Christ our Lord, by whom and with whom and in whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honour and glory be yours, Almighty Father, for ever and ever. Amen. Let us pray with confidence as our Saviour has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body, because we all share in one bread. God's holy gifts for God's holy people. Jesus Christ is holy. Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Body of Christ, broken for us all. Amen. The blood of Christ, shed for us all. Amen.
Teach us the ways of gentleness and peace, that all the world may acknowledge the kingdom of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Fill us, good Lord, with your Spirit of love, and as you have fed us with the one bread of heaven, so make us one in heart and mind, in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
To love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen.